The Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. Now, here's your host, Jay Garvin's.
This segment is brought to you by Empire Title, Bill McAfee, your best of the best Colorado Springs gold winner. Listeners, here we are sitting right in the middle of April. We've got sunshine, we've got spring on the horizon, and I want to welcome you to the Jay Garvin Show, Home and Mortgage Talk, where every single week, Matt, my producer, and I, and my amazing partners, do our best to bring you a great conversation that will lift up your day and give you a little more knowledge inside that noggin of yours. I'm Jay, the host. If you've never met me, I'm your friend. You can get a hold of me at 719-330-1457. I come to the microphone as a licensed loan originator, and I'd love to help you with your next purchase or refinance transaction. With over 4 years of appreciation in houses and 4 years of inflation all around us, I wanted to talk about a subject that would lift us all up. See, there is one aspect of rental property ownership that people don't talk about, and that's depreciation.
Say what?
I'm going to talk today how you can actually take a paper loss, which I'll explain to you, and offset the burden of real income. And that's why I have titled this show, drumroll, Matt, Learning to Appreciate Depreciation. So I'm going to get into that for 50 full minutes, but for the first 10 minutes, I've got a surprise guest here, Kelsey from Springs Body Sculpting, one of my best friends, been on the air together for more than 8 years, and we're going to take 9 or 10 minutes to talk about learning to appreciate elimination. So, Kelsey, you think you can handle that conversation?
I think so. I'm up for a challenge.
Yes, and you are the one who makes success out of the challenges. I get these show titles and conversations from my wife, Marlo, who the more I look around, I'm thinking that I need to get rid of my wrinkles and make my hair less gray because it seems every day she looks more like my daughter. But you and your team help her there to appreciate the eliminated.
How I look at it really is shedding old skin to be comfortable in your new skin.
That's a great analogy. My wife would call it crow's feet.
Which it can be crow's feet. It can be just dull skin. It can be, you know, extra weight, extra, like, we really have gone from
rolls. Like, I have extra rolls.
I mean, we all do, you know. I also try to balance it out with coming from a place of self-love.
Well, and that's a good
not
thing that
over
you mentioned.
Yeah, don't criticize yourself. Like, understand, hey, this is something that bothers me, or this is something I'd love to improve. I'm here to help you. We absolutely can. We have gone from just purely aesthetic to now functional, holistic. We do peptides, anti-aging peptides. We do medical weight loss.
What's a peptide?
Peptide are basically, you can do oral, you can do injectable. It's much like medical weight loss. But where you actually are, yeah, you're rebuilding your skin, your structure, you're enhancing cognitive function by utilizing tools that we already produce in our bodies. But as we get older, we start to reduce it, right?
And produce less.
Yes.
Yes.
So when we do, so they're safe, clinically studied peptides that are working in excellence with medical weight loss, but also a lot
is
of things.
Is peptide something put in your body or in your body that you're enhancing?
In your body you're enhancing. Now, there are some you can put in. I typically am not, like, that's not my fave. I don't say anything wrong against it. I know people do, but the ones I prefer and I promote are the ones that are already in existence in our body, and we are just enhancing it, and it's not causing any problems with reducing our production either.
And it's like testosterone. In my late 50s. Yeah.
Yeah.
In my late 50s. I have to push through the pain because the testosterone and my natural energy isn't there.
Yeah. And this,
so you help with all of that.
Exactly. And in combination therapy. So we'll do hormone replacement therapy in addition, or hormone optimization therapy, in addition to peptides, if that's what's needed. You tell us what the situation is. We tell you, here's what we have and what we can do for you. So we're always on top of adding things that really can give you the best bang for your buck, you know?
And not only aesthetically, but
Functionally.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Healthy and
yep.
mentally. And so I have, it's pretty fun for me to learn a lot more about it and also how it, you're healthy from the inside out. So you are, it's also enhancing your skin, your healing properties that you're able to like produce new fibroblasts, which will produce more skin, you know.
Just more rejuvenating.
But yeah, rejuvenation from the inside out is exactly what it is. And so think about shedding old skin, bringing new. And that can be seen as a metaphor or can also be literal, you know, because with the cellular turnover, as we're taking care of your skin as well, mm-hmm. if we're reducing fat, if we are, you know, helping with cognitive function and brain fogginess with hormone optimization therapy, peptides, it's really cool. There's a lot we can do. And we have pretty much every tool in the toolbox, so to speak, to help with
yeah.
anything you've got going on.
Well, and, you know, if you're in your 20s or 30s, you don't even think about it. 40s,
yeah.
you look at the people in their 50s and 60s and wonder why they're doing it.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
By the time you get to your 50s and then moving into your 60s, you start to notice that my big one is our muscles are not as elastic.
Uh-huh.
It's like you have to stretch just to walk normal rather
yeah.
than be a gymnast or an athlete.
Yep, and we're losing muscle mass every year.
And that's the crazy thing is that you're explaining it happens at the molecular level
yep.
where we notice it maybe at the superficial or maybe the muscular level.
Yep.
And from peptides to some of the functional therapies
yep.
that you do, you know.
We combine them.
Yep, some of the areas. The biggest thing is that I'm amazed that you and Matt, Dr. Dunham, get into the functional.
Yeah.
Which is just amazing. That's like equivalency at the same level with making your teeth correct. There's parts
yep.
of your body you just need to make correct that don't
yeah.
function the same way when you're 60 that they did when you're 16.
Exactly. And it affects every facet of your life, really. Like when you don't feel good, when you're in pain, or when you, or mentally you don't feel good, you know, it's a confidence boost, you know, mind-body connection big time. You know, it's a physical and a mental and an emotional thing. And it's, so it's, you know, it's not something to feel sheepish that it's vain. You know, it's only, it's not at all. It really does affect you on all facets. And then I always say, when you feel good, you do good. Well, do well, but, you know,
well.
My little, for my grammar's sake, but I say do good
oh,
simply because
this
of...
Is a, this is a grammar-free zone as far as
it's
judgment.
Hard for me to say it. My mother would not approve. So.
Yeah, but you touched on the most important thing that I want to end with, and that's the elimination of a poor self-image of your body
yep.
or a poor psychology about
mm-hmm.
your approach every morning, and that's tied to the physiology.
Absolutely. And so there's something about it. But I have people come in and say, I don't want anyone to judge me. Nobody's judging you. Because if you get something liposuction or you get fat reduction, we have both minimal invasive and non-invasive. But let's say you do that. It's amazing to see the confidence that people have when just something that bothered them has been taken care of. And I know for my own personal self, when I feel good, I feel like I'm on top of the world. I can be superwoman. And it really does permeate in every little bit of my life, from being a mom to being a wife to being a business owner to being a team leader, a boss, whatnot. It makes things better when I'm feeling good. And sometimes it's not just aesthetic. It's also I have brain fog. I'm in my 40s now. And trust me, I swear I wake up every year after my birthday, the day after, to something new where I'm like, oh, wasn't there yesterday?
That was not there
I
yesterday.
I swear it wasn't there yesterday.
Yeah, and that's why you listening out here, we can relate to what you're going through. And that's why I spend so much time on health and wellness, because mortgage, real estate's important, but it's not even in the same ballpark as your family, your health, your well-being, and your memories. And what you and Matt do at Springs Body Sculpting is amazing, because over the years, you've went from new to the market
uh-huh.
to the perennial trendsetter.
Yeah.
And that's just amazing. Most people are going to Denver to get therapies, and you have therapies within your clinic that
yep.
aren't exclusively available here, representing the whole state of Colorado.
Exactly. I've had more, and we've been around so long that just when people search something organically, we'll pop up, because we have been around so long, we do have all this. And I have so many people as of late just saying, I used to have to go to Denver. I'm so happy. Now I don't have to. I'm like, yay. That's
yes.
correct.
And that's
we're here.
Absolutely amazing. And the thing that I see the most is Marlo experiences it, the individual radio listeners that have went to you that have given me feedback is all the same, that the therapy is one thing, but the feedback and the gain on the self-image and
yeah.
the elimination
yep.
of that body shame in the mirror
absolutely.
Is what turns that frown upside down.
It is absolutely true. It sounds basic, but guess what? The basics work. It's
the
real.
Basics
it's
work.
Real. Back yeah. to basics.
So I really appreciate you coming on. I get so sad when we get so busy that we can't do it all the time.
I know.
But don't go anywhere, because I've got more along this subject of appreciation. It's so important to set the stage right with having an appreciation for what's eliminated to move into learning to appreciate depreciation. So don't go anywhere. I'm going to transition that conversation back into depreciation and how it works with real estate rental properties and how it can offset your real W-2 and taxable business income right after these messages. Call me at 719-330-1457. I would be honored to help you or your adult children, friends, neighbors, relatives, parishioners, anybody that you know with their next purchase or refinance transaction. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show.
The Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. We're back with your home mortgage Jedi, Jay Garvin's.
This segment brought to you by Texas Roadhouse. Legendary food, legendary service, located on 8th Street next to Walmart.
Hey, where's the beef?
Well, thanks for sticking with me. I am Jay, the host of the show, and talking about appreciation today is key. See, I took the time to talk about learning to appreciate the eliminated, and that's the improvements that you make on yourself physically with Kelsey, because at the end of our life, that's all that matters. Now that I am all the way through and almost done with my decade of the 50s, the houses, the mortgages, the investments, the businesses, the rental properties mean far less than the family, the memories, and the health in my life. Now, that doesn't take away from the conversation that I'm going to have with you about learning to appreciate depreciation. It just is at a mathematical mortgage, a real estate, and because we're just through tax season, a tax deductible perspective. See, because for me, money just buys you freedom. And for those that say money doesn't make you happy, you're not around it on a daily basis. Having been a mortgage broker and now lender for 25 years, I can tell you that money does make you happy just from the sense of having more options, less stress in your life, because stress is the thing that kills. And making money gets more complicated and difficult the older that you get. So if you make wise decisions early on in your career and in your life and in your maturity, those decisions can help offset some of the challenges. And the challenges are taxes. If you make $250,000 a year and you're in a 25% tax bracket, that's $60,000 that you're giving to the IRS every year. That's if you're a couple making $250,000 or more. If you are or you know anybody that's a single making $250,000 a year, they literally give the first 4 months of their income to the federal government before they start putting any in the bank themselves. Right now, if you don't have any business or investment property deductions, which depreciation I'm going to talk about today, you're going to give the federal government $87,500 a year at a $250,000 salary as an individual. And that's before we start to give with sales tax, registration fees, and the state of Colorado. So it's so important. And the lesson that I learned more than 28 years ago with Bruce Eskew, my certified public accountant, when I was freshly out of the military and made my first $115,000 as a young 32-year-old, I complained at our tax appointment and he looked right at me and pointed his finger in a very calm manner and said, Jay, if you don't own a sole proprietor or an investment property, then you deserve to give that money to the federal government because you just don't understand how tax law works. Well, that's what I'm going to explain to you, the tax law and the benefit of depreciating asset in the rental property world. This also exists in business. There's business depreciation as well, but there's four quick things that I want to cover with you. One is what, when, and why even started this depreciation conversation. And what happened was in 1986, when Ronald Reagan was in office, they passed the Tax Reform Act of 1986. And this law codified the Modified Accelerated Cost Recovery System, called MACRS, M-A-C-R-S. And basically what it was is they said, for the first time, there was depreciation that existed in the tax code before that, but not to the fashion that they molded it into legislation. And basically what they said is this, and only the IRS can do this because it's a typical oxymoron of a government agency. They said, as a property appreciates for us in value, a house that was $18,000 in the 50s, was $29,000 in the 70s, became $115,000 in the 90s, in the 2000s it became $250,000, in 21, 23 it was exploded in this immediate Pikes Peak region to over $400,000. At the exact same time, the IRS laws state that as you own a house, it naturally degrades in condition and value over 27 and a half years. That's the what they decided. And why did they decide that? They decided that because home ownership is a facet of the American life. It's part of the American dream with your beautiful little house with a picket fence. And there has been a disproportionate amount of people investing in real estate because of this legislation. This is why my wife and I have six properties. And in 1986 is when it happens, but what actually does it represent? And this is what it represents. If you own a rental property that you bought on a 30-year mortgage for $300,000, and you divide that by 27 and a half, 27 and a half is the number of years that Congress decided that is the physical devaluation period of a home. And that 27.5-year limit basically is broken out by your accountant. So if you have a $300,000 year, if you have a $300,000 house, you can write off $11,000 a year in the loss, the depreciation of that home every year, and at 27 and a half year, its full depreciated value has been realized. So if you make $100,000 a year and you own a rental property and you collect rent, but you also get to write off the cost of the taxes, the cost of the expenses, the cost of the interest, and all of the other remedial expenses, at the end you get to add up 1/27th of that $300,000 purchase value, minus out the land, taking the structure itself, dividing that by 27, and you can take another $10,000 a year off of the profit of that rental and off of the taxable income that you earn at your W-2 job. And the most miraculous thing that I'm going to state over the next two segments is that it's one of the very few areas in the IRS tax code that you can take a paper loss. The loss of depreciation is a hypothetical paper loss. It's nothing that you actually spend. It's a dollar amount that you get to write off on paper, but it directly reduces and counteracts real earned income. See, if you have the expense of a property manager that you give 10% to somebody, that's a real expense of owning an investment property. If you get to write off the cost of insurance, that's an expense that you have to pay, but you get to reduce it. The depreciation is the one aspect of the formula that is a paper loss, and you can eliminate that from real income. That's why when I teach the three little houses to buy three investment properties or more to get you into residual retirement, at the exact same time, it offsets the left remaining of your W-2 income. So if you take that $10,000 of depreciated cost every year, but you times it by three or five or six houses, you're writing off $30,000, $40,000, $60,000 from the top of your income. And that's why my accountant said if you don't own investment properties or a business or a sole proprietor, you simply don't understand the tax law and you deserve to give your money to the IRS. Now, I'm a believer that you give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but you understand the code and the rules of the game to keep as much money as you can. Just like I heard in a White House interview this week, they stated, we in the Trump administration understand that you can make better decisions with your money than we can as a government. So don't go anywhere. I'm going to be back in just these important messages in a minute or two and talk more about learning to appreciate depreciation and also dabble into the monthly economic numbers with Bill McAfee at Empire Title. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show.
The Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. We're back. Here's Jay Garvin's.
This segment is sponsored by Best Realty and Mark Salas.
Housekeeping?
Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on?
Well,
welcome back. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show. And before I continue my conversation about learn to appreciate depreciation, I want to take this 10 minutes to learn to appreciate the economic update with Bill McAfee, my friend. These numbers are a little hard to look at this month.
Well, I tell you what, if you're a buyer, you're going to love them.
I know.
If you're a seller, you're not going to think things are so good. So
what's the bottom line up front? The bottom line up front is this.
If you started just, I've been saying since the spring of 22 that somewhere, some way, somehow it's got to affect prices. That's when those interest rates shot up. And all that's really ever been affected is really just the number of homes has been going down since that spring of 22. This year, for one of the first, in a big way, first quarter of this year compared to first quarter of last year, both average and median are down almost 3%. That's a big number compared to what we had been doing. And Jay, you and I talked about this right before we came on. I just, with the way that the war is going, I think eventually it's going to turn out to turn into something very positive. But where it's at right now, even if the Strait of Hormuz got opened up tomorrow, you're still probably talking late summer before I see it affecting the interest rates. So I think you're probably going to be at rates where we're at right now, which for, you know, people on that lower end, these rates, they just, our income in El Paso County does not, it just doesn't back it up. If we get back down into the fives, it does. And so what I'm anticipating is it's probably going to stay up through the summer, maybe into the early fall. I do believe you can see them start to drop down by the end of the year. And so I think that'll be a positive thing. I think for sellers, the one thing I got to say to sellers out there right now, if you're thinking you're going to be pricing your homes, you know, where they were prior to that spring of 22, I would just say, no, you're not. When you go onto the market right now, days on market are about 61 days. And believe it or not, that's actually normal. That's not abnormal. And you're just going to have to listen to your agents out there, because if you really want to get the property sold, fact of the matter is there's only one market that's really moving right now, and that's at 750 and above. That lower end market, because of interest rates, they are incredibly interest rate sensitive. And that affects that lower end. I'm talking three on up to five. That's incredibly affected. That market's, you know, above five, especially 750 and up. Interest rates don't really affect them that much. And that's why those are what you're seeing move. In fact, Jay, we sold more homes above 750,000 and above than we did 0 to 300,000.
I know, and that's amazing. And just in two of the six contracts I have for my buyers, both appraisals that were done this week, one gal buying down by Quail Lake in the South bought a house that sold for $440,000 in 2021, and 5 years later, she went under contract at $400,000. and it appraised at 420. And then I have another one by Penrose, bought it for $705,000.
When did she buy it?
Under contract right now.
Okay.
Both of them closing here in April.
Perfect.
Karen is closing on the 24th next week, and she's buying it for $400. It appraised for $420, and it sold for $440 in 2021. This other house, the couple has had for a decade, and they put it under contract at $705,000, but then it appraised for $745,000 because there just weren't the buyers. It's right on that cusp of the $750,000.
Yep. What did they buy that for 10 years ago?
10 years ago, they bought it for like $390,000.
They're doing all right.
They're doing all right. Yeah, and they're the smart couple, and they gave a great house. It was manicured. But the reality is setting in because this is the first month that you and I have looked at each other that both the median and the average are both off almost 3%.
And for three consecutive months in a row.
Yeah.
And
it's great for buyers, but sellers, you better price it right. Or right. Just sit the summer out.
Well, and you know another thing, Jay, that I'm seeing that's not just the price anymore. I mean, you're talking homeowners insurance, property tax,
yep.
Metro districts, HOAs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all going up to a huge degree.
And insurance, the worst. Oh. It used to be inspections were the number one thing that people would do.
Yep.
I don't even start my borrowers on the inspection until I'm like, get an insurance quote.
Yep.
And there's this couple out in Penrose. AmFam, American Family, was like, with a straight face, been with them for 10 years, said, yeah, that's $5,800 all day long. My guys freaked out, almost pulled out of the transaction. I introduced him to Rick Gillett, Farmer's agent. He said, Jay, I don't know what they're doing, but it's $2,800.
Right.
So different insurance companies are just hitting different walls with reinsurance and the number of claims. But you're right, everything's hitting it. But how is the market getting affected by the number of listings this year?
So what's going on? And this has been climbing. Listings are up. We're still up.
I know. They just keep climbing. We want more listings.
And you know what's interesting, Jay? We're still below historic norms. We were a little over 3,000 this last month. 3,500 to 4,500 is normal. We're still not, even though they're climbing rapidly, we're still not back to normal. And the number of units that are being sold is declining.
Big time, because of the rate.
Absolutely.
We saw that blip in February.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. This started again, that spring in 22. The number of units has dropped since then. In fact, the number of units is down, I think, down about 2%. The number of listings is up about 16.
I know.
Here, let me take a look and just make sure I'm right on that. So, yeah, it's wild. It's so when you look at the overall deal, so units, number of listings is up almost 17%.
And
so
that's really healthy for our inventory.
Absolutely. We're still not back to what the norm is. And look at that. I said 2%. God.
Darn it. You were up by 0.4, Mr. McAfee.
Could you bring a mirror in here so I could flex? I mean,
I know.
Just making me feel bad.
You are.
And Brent and Batista, you know you're out there. Just keep working out, son. Someday you'll be as big as me.
Yeah. That's good. I know. This guy is all freaking muscle.
So anyway, Jay, when I'm looking at this market, I anticipate very similar through the next 3 months. I think through the first half of this year, I just anticipate seeing. The war causes uncertainty. You know, people are not sure what they want to do. And so people are kind of sitting. AI is spooking people a little bit. Some middle management is getting let go because of AI. You know, the trades are going crazy. Their jobs are like electricians, plumbers, all that shit. They're set. They're good.
Yeah, 100 to 200K a year.
Yeah, it's incredible. And so I just think that you're going to see a very similar next 3 months to what we saw this month. I do think listings are going to continue to climb. The more listings climb, the less the effect it's going to have on price. Price will not be pressured up. You know, the more homes that come on the market, the opposite's going to happen. Prices will actually start to go down.
Sure.
So that will help offset the cost. And I believe it's healthy. I think the houses have to adjust. It's got to give somewhere. The affordability factor has to come into play. And I think it's going to be healthy for a decrease in prices for a bit.
I agree. And it's going to leave room. Like I told you, I have one radio listener, Mary, helping her daughter get into a house to a good 3-bedroom, 1-bath house in a nice neighborhood just east of Divine Redeemer. $320,000.
Wow.
With a nice front and backyard.
Right.
1,100 square feet. You can't even build that house out east for less than $400,000.
Right. Absolutely. You know, Jay, one of the things that I'm not a fan of all the laws that are passing in Colorado right now. First, we're becoming one of the most unfriendly landlord states in the United States right now.
Yeah, top five now.
Very quickly. But the one thing I did see in the legislation was passed, It was a law to go after the construction defect law. And what happened about 10 to 15 years ago, there was a law firm out of Denver that came, and the construction defect law, what they do is they go into condominiums and they find some stuff wrong, like what maybe wasn't wired right in an outlet, or they'll find something. And then they go and they file this construction defect law, and they go to all the people that live in the condo and say, hey, join us. We're going to sue the builder or developer. We're going to take all this cash that we get and just pass it out to you. That happened. That literally stopped the building of condominiums in El Paso County.
I know. You went from apartments to 3,000 square foot single family homes because no one would do anything in between.
The cool thing, what this law says is, first of all, you got to have 65% of the owners approved, not just 50. But the thing that I think really gets it, that any money that comes from that has to be used to fix the defect.
Uh-huh.
So the tenant, the people living there are not going to get money.
Yeah.
So if it really is that bad, that money's going to have to go to fix. Not going to be dissed out.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope, because that would bring affordability into a market, because we're just not building condos. And condos are a great first home, you know, or they're something low.
Yeah, they're a great first home. You just got to keep that HOA down. And in the last minute, your prediction for the next quarter is more of the same.
Yeah, I really think very similar to the same. I think interest rates are going to stay in and around that range they're at. They may go up a little bit. I'm not seeing downward pressure on them in the near term. But mark my words, as soon as that strait is open, as soon as we can say that people are passing through there, whether they're being escorted by other nations or whatever it is, but if it's open where hundreds of ships are going through that, things will turn around rapidly. But when I say rapidly, even if it did tomorrow, it would probably be 2 to 3 months before we really had huge effects of gas prices coming way down, interest rates coming way down. So, yeah, so that's what I think. I think next 3 months, very similar. End of year, I predict we're going to be down.
Good predictions, Bill. I love to do this in April after the first quarter because we have it all recorded. So don't go anywhere. Bill's going to be back next month, but I'm going to be back after the break finishing the conversation about learning to appreciate depreciation right here on The Jay Garvin Show.
Come on, if you make sure you're connected, the writing's on the wall. But if your mind's neglected, stumble, you might fall. Stumble, you might fall. Stumble, you might fall.
Wrap it up, I take it. Wrap it up.
The Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8, Sunday at 11, here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. We're back with your home mortgage best friend, Jay Garvin's.
We want to pump you up.
Wrap it up, I take it. Wrap it up, I take it.
Well, thanks for sticking with me. I am Jay. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show. Today we are all over the map. We go ahead and get the economic update, which is fantastic. We also got a chance to talk to Kelsey at Springs Body Sculpting about appreciating the eliminated and taking care of all of that extra stuff you have on your body so you're more healthy. But I am finishing up the show talking with you. It's a heavy topic. It's why I'm keeping it light. And that is learning to appreciate depreciation. And that is in 1986 in the Tax Reform Act that Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill passed, if you remember back then when Republicans and Democrats used to work together and dine together, they came up with a modified accelerated cost recovery system, MACRS, MACRS, and it defined depreciation specifically for rental properties, creating a paper write-off that can directly offset a real taxable income. So they created, Congress, the artificial depreciation life of a single-family home, not the land, and I'll finish with that, but the actual structure over 27 and a half years, explaining that the usefulness of it will dramatically decline in that period. Now, you also have to realize that there's a calculation for rental property depreciation. See, first, you have to determine the property's purchase price, which is pretty easy. But then you have to separate out the land value from the building. It's nice because appraisals do that now. You'll see the value of the structure and then a estimated value of the land. You subtract out the land. Say it's a $340,000 house. You have $40,000 for the land. I gave this example in the first segment. $300,000 for the structure. You divide that by 27.5, and that's about $11,000 a year that you get to offset the income for that rental property. And then your regular income, that's W-2'd or net taxable business income. So when you start to get two or three or four or five of these properties, you start to get $40,000, $50,000, $70,000 a year offsetting any real profits from that rent and then from paper losses of depreciation. Just a figure written on paper, there's so much left over through personal experience with my wife and I having six separate income-earning properties. It offsets tens of thousands of dollars. In 2021, it offset $50,000 of taxable income. Now, after you separate out the land and you quantify the value of the house, then if you're buying in this specific year, you then take away qualifying closing costs. So literally now when you're buying a house, not only do you have depreciation, which is a paper loss, if you spend $5,000 on title fees, loan origination fees, surveys, transfer taxes, abstract fees, and also, this is a huge one right now if you're listening, any discount points are part of the tax deduction. So you've got $500,000 to $700,000 in real costs in acquiring a house, and now if you're taking that $7,000 in closing costs and then go ahead and put your tax bracket in there, and if you're in a 24% tax bracket and you've got $7,000, you're now, which is absolutely incredible, getting another $1,700 to $1,800 off of your closing costs. These are all an equation that works in concert with a paper loss of depreciation to offset your earned income. And it's why way back in 1998 when I met my accountant, and in 2000, which was my first year that I was out of the military and originating mortgages with a W-2 paycheck company, and I made over $100,000, and I literally back then gave more than $17,000 of it. 17% was such a big percent back then when I was in a lower tax bracket. He said, Jay, you don't have the right to complain about the amount of taxes you pay unless you understand and make decisions on investment property ownership and businesses, or what he called sole proprietorships. And this is the formula. If you know anybody at all that makes over $250,000 a year as a family, you know, filing jointly, let alone someone that makes $250,000 individually, you have to share a message for them. If you make over $250,000 a year as an individual or a household income, and you don't own investment properties, or you don't own a sole proprietor, a business, an S-corp, or a C-corp, then you just don't understand tax laws, and you deserve to give your $60,000 to $90,000 to the IRS. You're either going to give it to the IRS, or you're going to spend it yourself in business traveling. You're going to spend it with your house improving it. One way or another, you're going to spend it. And the last thing that I want to state is this. One of the last paper loss tax deductible entities in United States for the middle class is claiming depreciation. And that's a paper loss. Whether you do it, there's a whole line of business depreciation write-offs. I'm a mortgage professional, a real estate investor, so I'll tell you the real estate side of it. There is no downside. If you have a household income of $250,000 or more, it's just a question whether you're going to give that $50,000 to $70,000 of income spent to your own future investment of a rental property or the IRS. So that's the biggest takeaway, my friends. If you don't act, don't blame anybody We have now taught it on this show. Purchase investment real estate for depreciation purposes alone. Like I state at the end of every show, go grow and prosper. Tell someone close to you that you love them, because that's all that matters in the end. Depreciation, tax write-offs, money, it just allows you to have more freedom and spend time in the areas that matter the most. And that's your friends, family, and faith. You've been listening to The Jay Garvin Show. Go grow and prosper.
Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world's from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the cold black top.
KRDO News Radio does not confirm or deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff or management of KRDO News Radio.
Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten.